Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Thank you very much.
Right, hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 229, and we're on our annual Red News Sellers Red News Community Day Out, and we're in Brum, and we're by the canal side, and probably these lot don't want to do it, but it's good to see everyone. Still basking? How do you pronounce it?
Basking.
That's, my pronunciations have got worse. In cup final.
What are you all listening to?
Stalky, right. So, yeah, still glorifying on the cup final. So, this is just a general bonhomie for half an hour, really. I'm enjoying the Euros because there's football on and I don't really. It goes quick. All I know is I'm part missing it, but part not. The sun's been out, so that's been all right. So I'm more going to get into hates of the week. Hate of the week number one, flies, obviously. Hate fucking flies. Two, Gabriel Clark, ITV. So he comes on, because he's interviewed fucking, what's his name, Anthony Gordon, who's fallen off a bike. And he'll start speaking, like he's doing a World War II documentary. Or he's like visiting like a crime scene, and he'll go, I'm at the England camp. And it's like, you're doing a football report, mate. Have you noticed Gabriel Clark? He speaks, and he's gone up market like Ralph Ragnick's Shane's thing. He starts, but on the England things with ITV, he started dressing as if like you're a writer in 1950s Paris. He really does my fucking head in. Do you know what I mean, Gabriel Clark? No. Okay, well, he's the one who always does the England reports, and he speaks as like, it's the most serious subject in the world. It's not. So, Steve, what did you say? You don't like piano players at train stations?
No, I don't. I think two reasons. First one is that when you go to a train station, you've got places to be. So these show-off cunts are just turning up to show off and play the piano. And also, it's like, look at me, I went to private school and mummy sent me to private piano lessons, but no one does like anything for normal people so they can show our skills off, so I can neck a pint of Guinness in like 5 seconds. No one puts pints on for me to neck, so I can show off. But these fucking little tops go in there and start playing the piano and everyone's like, oh, fucking well done. But, well done for going to private school.
We'd film you drinking Guinness in like 6 seconds or whatever. Nathan's Friday was spent watching Gemma Collins talking continents.
Oh, that
on
was
this morning.
Well, you just ruined the story. I don't need to tell that story now, do I? Yeah. We've mentioned this morning quite a few times as a hate of the week, haven't we? But yesterday it was particularly, I was in the warehouse in work at the DC in Rochdale, and it's just horrendous to start with. But I was in the canteen having as quick a dinner as I could so I could get out there, and literally on the telly, this room is just like soul destroying, and in the corner is just the TV with bloody Gemma Collins talking about having incontinence, and it's just like, yeah. Other than that, I've not really got. I've never have hates.
I've got World Cup darts. I love it, but they high five each other. So there's four. There's four, like two playing two, and after every three darts, they fist pump each other. Why? You don't need to do that. And then the other day, I think it was one of the Philippines players, he got 17 and the other bloke fist pump. You should go, what the fuck is that? That's professional. Why have you thrown 17? Why? Like, literally, I would throw higher than 17. And I wouldn't want to get congratulated. Like, Roy Keane, do your fucking job. Right.
I don't know if you ever watched ladies beach volleyball, but that annoys me about that. Every time they have a shot, they like slap each other's hands and everything like that. So I'm having to watch it to get angrier and angrier.
Is that why you watch it?
That's why I watch it.
Stay watch your other one.
Ladybirds. Start chest bumping instead of high five.
Stop, I can.
Ladybirds are good. They pollinate.
No, I don't
so
like them. Snide fuckers. And everyone likes it.
But no, they're good.
I don't like it when they get together and there's like a gang
no,
of
no, that's great because they eat the aphids. Is it aphids?
Aphids.
Aphids, that's the word. Right. Stalky, have you got a hate of the week?
No, not really. I'm at peace with the world at the moment.
Then, like Nathan. Coggy? Hates first. Let's get on to.
I have none. I have none.
Boring bastards.
No, not really this week, Matt. It's been
ridiculous.
It's
just,
everyone's happy, it's summer, it's warm. Yeah.
There's no football. It's not.
The bat pisses me off. We have 9 days and everyone goes, and then by the ninth they're going, is it too hot? For fuck's sake. You were just moaning 9 days ago, it was shit. How can you go full circle to say, is this too hot for us? No, have that weather every single day.
I'm not even enjoying the Euros. The Euros have not given me the football.
Oh, no, but I enjoy. No, but I like watching nothingness.
Sorry, I just Googled it. A group or a gang of ladybirds is called a loveliness.
Well, they
so
are. They're not.
Don't
they're
be such a
they
fucking
are.
Miserable
good.
Bastard.
They pollinate. They're very good for the pollination.
They're snide.
They're not snide.
They fucking come in your house and they're like, oh,
no, I never
me.
Get that. Well, can I say one
would
last...
A ladybird would play piano in a train station.
Right, can I... And I got a new phone after I had a year of that joy of not having an upgrade, so I was just paying fuck all. And then I get it, and they just say, you want to transfer the info? Yeah, that seems easy. And then everything's like, you need to redo the app, you need to do Bluetooth. Right, the last thing, and I found this, Coggy, so I don't know why I'm looking at you, but I find, and I've lost weight, I exercise much more now than I ever did in my life, but cutting toenails is the worst experience of my life.
What's that got to do with
losing weight? I feel breathless and sweating trying to cut my toenails. How do men of a certain age cut their toenails without this? Because literally, like, it's the most... I feel I have self-loathing at the best of times. I hate myself by the end I've cut my toenails. Because I look like... Imagine a statue of Buddha trying to get to his toes and clip them. And I'm sweating at the best of times. And it's ridiculous. How do you cut your toenails? I'm sweating. I put it in my head the other day that I was sweating like Stan Ogden on the crapper.
Get Hosk also do it.
Yeah, but don't you get like? Because you got to go down and like it's hard work.
Do you not like?
It's just not hard work.
Wait till you're 53.
It's seriously.
I have to wear my, you know, the light that I have for reading also, because to put it round my neck. It's fucking.
You mean
work.
The dog?
No, he's like. Wait till old age hits you. Like you got all this to come. Right, so I love the video. The Euro is just good distraction. I love the video of Manu doing players and when he was doing Gomez. And I thought, that gets me excited. What that player's potential is, and hopefully he plays tomorrow before the Sunday. Right, putting it out there. What do United need to do? How do you feel? But here's a question. Does anyone feel bothered about the renaming of Old Trafford? Because I do. And then people seem to be a bit blasé, well, if it gets us 300 million.
This is another step in the coffin of my season ticket.
But supporters want the best of both worlds, don't they? They want £100 million Osimhen signing for the club, but want to put limits on what the club can do to raise the funds. And you think, in this day and age, you can't have it both ways, really. And it doesn't matter what Jim Ratcliffe calls it, everyone else will still call it Old Trafford anyway.
But they also could just get rid of the bullshit rules that are in football and then none of this would be a problem in the first place.
But you
which
say
is
that.
Probably what's going to happen anyway. Yeah, so then it's pointless but, renaming the
but
stadium.
You say that and I was thought, well, we'll always refer to K-Stand as K-Stand, and now a lot of people say East Stand, see you in East Stand. You know, like there's a certain generation. So will it pass that in 2030?
But the number of people that knew it as K-Stand, let's be honest, there aren't many of us left, are there?
How many people say, for example, Arsenal, I'm going to the Emirates? You know, like literally they use
that.
That's
because it doesn't have enough of an F.
Yeah,
but it's always been the Emirates,
hasn't it? How many Arsenal fans never went to Highbury? How many of the, you know, the people that fill the Emirates now, how many of them went to Highbury? Yeah, the world moves on.
I find that
there was probably a load of people sat around having this exact conversation when the club moved from Bank Street.
Do you know what's sad though? You not be able to cut your toenails.
But you had a good point about it on the way down, didn't you? About the actual, like you're saying, 300 million. It's not going to be that much, is it?
Well, I mean, I'm having a discussion, say the least, with people on social media, thinking we're going to get 50 million, 100 million a season for this.
We get 30, 40 million a year.
Well, we'll get if you look at what Bayern Munich are getting less than 20 million, Arsenal are getting less than 10 million, City in their inflated deal are getting 20 million. So we'll get 25 to 30 million. So it won't be the panacea that everybody else is making it out to be.
What do you think about it then?
So that little amount of money in the grand scheme of things, is it worth doing? Like, I wouldn't. I'd rather it be Old Trafford than.
I'd do a lot of things.
No, but, but in the grand scheme of the football club with its billions, it's not a lot of money.
I get what you're. I get what you're saying, Stocky. But my view is, I'm coming, and I say this now. But I've said this for 6 months under Ineos. I can see, and famous last words, but I can see my pathway at United. Not, you know, still go. But if they move ground, I'm much more in the trenches. That might be the moment for me. That when that ground, and it won't be for 2-3 years, but then I'll be approaching 60, so that'll be the moment to, and then it's sort of passing it on, you can do what you want with it, and they won't be listening to the likes of us. They don't listen to the likes of us anymore, but I feel like a sort of, he's trying to head, we know where he's trying to take us, and this is where the doubt's over any kind of suit Ineos. We know where he's taking us here. He wants the new ground, he wants that American style stadium, and that's not me. That's so I see my point out at that point.
And that's why the Glazers aren't going anywhere.
No, again, like the reference, where there's no exit path. In all these interviews, they're asking him about Erik ten Hag and all this. And there's, bizarrely, in a subject you don't want to talk about, United, I will say I thought Eric's interview in Dutch was very naive, and this might sound stereotypical in the Dutch way, you're very honest, but you started slagging Southgate, we're all slagging Southgate off, but I thought, you're the man who said you don't like ex-players criticising because they don't, and then on the other, you're slagging Southgate, and I get the dig at Tuchel because he's the boat they were trying to get in, but did you really need to do an interview on your first day back from Ibiza? It looked fucking naive, mate. And we've just given you the biggest backing. We're all going, yeah, Eric, you don't need, I hope, fucking cease that nonsense. Do what Fergie did, abuse everyone. But, you know, Manchester United is in major change mode, and I'm an old dinosaur who goes, oh, I don't like any kind of change. Sorry, I'm dominating again. Go on, Steve.
But I
wasn't paying attention.
Thanks, Steve.
But it goes back as well to what people want at a match day at Old Trafford, because that's been eroded and eroded over the last 20 years anyway. The pubs are gone, it's harder and harder to meet people for a drink before the game, certainly depending on which end of the ground that you're at. So when you go and watch United, are you going to watch the team play football? Are you going to have a day out with your mates? Or are you going to stand in Old Trafford?
Well, you, if you don't mind, you came to meet us for a drink, so we'll have that later. But I'm going to put you on the thing. Your United experience has changed, hasn't it? So how do you feel not going as often as you...
Don't miss the football at all. Seeing millionaires rolling around cheating. I put the telly on to do that. And it is very much the people that you miss. And, you know, looking around this table now, people I know, people I don't know. But around this table now, this is Man United. And it's Red News as well, that it's a commonality that's brought people together. And to me, that's what it's more about than, you know, the football. Someone recently said something about the quality of football now is better than it's ever been. Personally, I'm not convinced about that. But I'm not sure that the match day really is just about watching football these days. And like you said, you know, won the FA Cup, that was brilliant. That's history now, that's gone, that moment's passed, hasn't it?
Yeah, but so, I know, I don't want to overlook that. You know, like, I want to cling on to that for months and months and months. Yeah. And I know that we'll be saying Eric out moaning in 7-8 weeks, and that is like...
Well, the thing is, bro, the match day experience is gone, isn't it? So, like, every season,
so why
the last
we
two or three, well, no, but it's a countdown now. We always sort of, like, I talk about a countdown all the time. I've said for 5 years, it's 5 years, and it's following up. I'll be very surprised if I've seen it in 3 years' time. I just don't think.
I'm sure
you
were saying that a couple of years ago.
No, but I was 5 years, and and it's gone down, but it goes down every year. Like, it is following what's happening, is what I expect to happen. And in 3 years' time, I'll be at a price where I'm not willing to pay it, because I just don't think it's...
Thank you very much. We didn't want anything, John. John, for the audio, John's just got food for himself. What do you want, lads?
Like, this is my breakfast, if you don't mind.
Yeah, looks nice. I just think... thank you. But it wouldn't mean I wouldn't go to Manchester every weekend. So I think there's a massive thing in, like, if everyone else is going, I'll still come. I just won't go in, I just won't bother paying
is
for the
match. Is that because of the football, though? Is that because you're seeing
I want to
everyone?
See everybody. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I don't go to football anymore. It's been a long time since I've really been to football for the football.
Yeah, but then there are some beautiful days where the football, like the cup final, makes the day. You know,
Liverpool Cup game,
where you live off four or five a season.
Of course, but I'll be gutted when those days I miss. But the other 25.
Yeah. Well, I jacked my season ticket in, what's it, the end of the 2019-20 season. It was when East Stand, K Stand, whatever you want to call it, depending on the demographic you fall in. We were told we were going to be relocated because they were extending the disabled section around. We got lied to. There are no two ways about that. We were told that no moves would be considered until the summer. Then the next home game, the fella in front of us won the ticket office, got himself a ticket for the Stretford end next season. So we followed that up. We were lied to about it. When the move actually happened in the end, the club really made a mess of it. It was just appalling, and it became very apparent at that stage that the club really didn't give a fuck. To mention an absent friend, Ian Sterling worked his socks off for myself and Tracy with the club, getting us a seat at the Stretford end. We were literally halfway through the phone call sorting out the payment, and the line dropped out. Rang them back, and they said because the phone call had dropped out, even though we were literally at the stage handing over card numbers, where the club said, well, because what we were told was because the transaction wasn't completed, the tickets went on open sale and we've sold them in the 2 minutes it took you to call us back. And it just became very apparent then that the club really didn't give a shit. There were other personal reasons as well, you know, like my mobility and stuff. But then you think, well, I'm spending hours on the M6, I'm in pain walking to and from the ground, and I've got a football club that actually don't really care whether I'm there or not.
Which I find that so upsetting that, like, they don't have the wherewithal to have a file on everyone. I know, like, there's 70,000 people, but they could go, Stalky, this is a situation.
I'd already had one seat move on medical grounds because I couldn't do all the steps, so they did know that. The other thing that was somewhat disappointing, I mean, without being all precious myself, there was no follow-up. Why, when you've had a season ticket for a number of years, why have you let your season ticket go? So again, you know, they didn't care because there's a queue of people.
Does it ever make you feel resentful once you give up?
Or do you? Around the time of giving up, I felt resentful towards the club, but now you just think, no, don't regret the decision. Like, so it's more like this, sat around the pub talking bollocks with people about football and Gemma Collins.
Well,
and
we
continents.
Do that.
You
know? We do bollocks, yeah. Good.
It's just like what Mark's just said, though. He doesn't see himself going in a few years' time. For me, this app thing has caused massive anxiety to me. And I'll be honest with you, Paul sorted mine out. He's sent the make-believe ticket to the make-believe people. It makes, unfortunately, like, I'd like to say it makes no sense, but it makes absolutely perfect sense. They're just putting barriers in the way, they just don't want us. And I'm just getting a little bit bored of, you've got to attend these games, you've got to do this.
Always
you can't
hopes.
Give your ticket that you've paid for to whoever you want. You've got to attend so many games. I just think it's fucking nonsense, and it must be the only sort of institution in the world where things like this happen. I don't know any other football clubs who put.
Yeah, but they've all started. They have started because they're now twigging on to the United Way, so they're all going. I totally agree. I just think, like,
it's fucking nonsense.
For your most loyal fans, they make, and this app nonsense is absolutely ridiculous. But when you go to the top, almost,
first, didn't they?
And I'm not saying it was long instigated, because the ticket office know that if you keep doing the owner's bidding, this has been a long time coming, but Ineos will perfect these ways where the Glazers just didn't give a shit about the minor details. You know, they did give a detail about every minor income going out, but it's like now United will properly perfect every way to screw us over and make more. And you can see it when he's interviewed. You know, apparently when I've got a few contacts, when you meet him face to face, Ratcliffe is very, very down to earth and personable, that they like him. But equally, as we keep making a note in the mag, there's a bloke who takes every 2 years 100 days off to travel, do his lovely bike and hairy bikers impression in various places. of the world, but will tell a fucking lowly staffer who isn't the problem, it's you're paying the 400 grand a week to fucking chances, who will say, you've got to be in the office. And as I've said to a couple of the staffers at United, if you see him, tell Barney, says, are you going to do your 100 day Mongolian check? Are you going to do your 100 day fucking trip around South America? Of course, the bosses never do that. But, you know, like, We're screaming into an echo chamber, aren't we? This is the way it's going.
You can see where it's going, because West Ham and Newcastle definitely have all got rid of concessions, so no new concessions. So if you want to take your kids to West Ham now, it's £2,000.
Spurs, but they're all
that's West Ham doing the same thing.
Yeah, but
West Ham
so only take kids. We went from 50% to 25% for IOPs. So the people that
West Ham, didn't
but the people who've given the lifetime of support. So we are, we're just screaming into an echo chamber. But equally, when the cup final gives me in such a life where we moan about the ills of, and the ills of the world are everywhere. They're not just at football clubs, and our ills aren't the ills of the real world. I just think that cup final gives me such a, I'm an addict who can't give up. But equally, I can see my point being this new ground, where I just think, what a point to go and say to the future, like, yeah, go off into the ether, but we had the best time of our lives. And then it changed 20, 30 years ago, didn't it? We were moaning in the 90s.
It changed. It changed in 1999. United won football that year with a football club that, yeah, they threw a lot of money around, but it was a football club that built its own income from its performances on the pitch and the number of people supporting it. Other clubs looked at what was happening, and then you've got all the billionaires coming in. And I think 1999, football finished as a club sport, and now it's a franchise sport. It's going to end up like the NFL. You know, I wonder how long it'll be before the first club moves City.
We'll see games overbrought. You know, we know that's coming. The FIFA have got what they're committing.
Wrexham and something.
Yeah, Birmingham.
Wrexham and Birmingham. They wanted to play that in America.
They wanted to play a game in America.
Yeah, and spare play to the league. We've told them no. I'm only saying no for so long.
They're only saying no to Wrexham. If United turn around and said they want to do it, they might not necessarily say no.
But I think the other thing as well, like having stopped going to the biggest Premier League club, going to step three non-league club, and you get the money clubs, the Wrexhams, the FCUM. You get these money clubs, and most of the football sports and clubs just want them through the leagues and gone as quickly as possible, so that normal football can resume.
Well, I go and watch West Ham in Charlton, like in Manchester.
I mean, this is the man,
and I love that. That is the essence of football.
It's unreal,
like, and I've said it for, I've been watching it for 2 years. It gives you everything that United doesn't give you.
Yeah, but this isn't a dig at Nathan. But I can't. Physically and intrinsically, like you know, but so linked to United, I can't. I'll enjoy the Euros just because it's a distraction, but all I care about, I don't give a shit about any other club. You know, like, I'm saying, it sounds horrible, but I don't give a shit. All I care about is.
But if you look at your football club like a woman, that really United are throwing you to one side for some bloke with more money than
but
you.
This is the sadomasochism.
See, you're a doormat.
I know this. No, but I know that. I know. But I knew, even pre, you know, go back in the fanzines, we knew in the mid-90s, they hated us. They'd never liked us. As I said, last podcast, Ron Atkinson saying, what the fuck are you lot doing? They've never liked us. Intrinsic football fans are just shit on the shoe, but they got better at it. So you went from the Edwards and the Dodgy Pies, and then you went and they just got better at it. And now you're billionaires. And then what? If a billionaire owns a football club, where do you go then? Because the only way then is stratospheric, in their view, to play it abroad and to have all these games. So then that would be the point. But then there are X amount of us who say the point, you know, I can remember the renaming of Old Trafford, that loads of mates said that will be the point I'll stop going. And then I message, and this isn't a dig, because I've said I've been a hypocrite. I'm talking a hypocrite about a point on Nick Order. Nick, who slagged off Hoyland. Nick can't answer himself because he's not here, because he's just moved out. But Hoyland, slagging him off Newcastle home. I'm worried about that lad. I don't think he's got it in him. Then last podcast, on his bit where we can challenge him, went, I can't wait for Hoyland to really kick on next season. You weren't saying that to me against Newcastle. And Hoyland worries me, but... But I'm saying, we're all hypocrites, but mates who said that would be the point, And then I asked now, and they said, well, yeah, but it's gone. You know, like, so we're also self-defeating.
Didn't Birmingham try to arrange a game? Oh, did you, sorry, that's how much
none of you are listening.
You were being really kind and making sure everyone had food ordered from the bar, unlike John.
I made John, sure you had drinks.
Do you pronounce?
You've been to the bar,
John.
Do you, not very well.
You've got the flag. Yeah, nice, Steve.
Bring your skis with you.
Steve's bought the shits with him, so thanks for that, Steve. Would I? Can I just say, John? How do you pronounce Adidas?
Adidas.
Who's Adidas and Adidas? This is an old podcast list.
As Coggy will tell you, as a former
employee. Who's Adidas?
Or yeah, but it's the same with Nike and Nike as well.
It's Nike.
Nike.
No, it's Nike.
It is Nike. It's Nike and Adidas.
This is they were clearing the. This is an early podcast where I forced John to come to the Adidas pub, and they were doing the bins. Do you remember the worst sound ever?
His name
and
was we argued. Adidas.
Adidas lawyer.
So I mean, that's it.
But the point is there a song that says "My Adidas"? No, it says "My Adidas."
So let's.
He's so stubborn.
He's got a good point there. Let's believe some bloke who wrote a song rather than the fucking bloke who invented the company.
Sound logic there.
Do you ever hate the way you chant? You must.
Just
you're
eat,
full of him.
You're in this podcast.
You and your furry muff.
Which
it's not. It's Don King. We're calling it.
Yeah. But anyone on the renaming of Old Trafford?
We've done.
Yes,
that.
Yes, go for it.
No, but.
Oh right.
Really.
Listen, I'll be dead in 15, 20 years' time. It doesn't fucking really matter, does it? I'll always call it.
It does matter, though.
I'll call it Old Trafford until the day I die, as all of us will. But new generations are coming through. You know, I'm one that believes that we've got to move with the times.
But then, knowing, and I'm not saying it will get better, hopefully, with the signings and when the structure comes in, but are we really saying, so we'll give up Old Trafford for 300 million that we'll spend on three players who won't be arsed and just dive around? Is that what United's worth? Surely, for you know, in a company, in a franchise business that earns 700 million that will go to a billion, it's 30 million, 40
that's
million
that's
a year.
Well,
your price.
Yeah, but
is that the price?
It won't be called the Emirates. It won't be called the Etihad. It'll be called the something Old Trafford, I would assume. So whatever company decides to sponsor.
But will it? If they build a new stadium, it's like the Emirates, isn't it? It'll just be a fresh start.
Then it is, in that case, it's not so bad.
So then if they build a new stadium, then it's not Old Trafford, is it? So that like
yeah. But then isn't that worse? It's like I see you're like building.
It's not going to be Old Trafford. You might as well stick it behind Piccadilly.
Which is.
Because that'd be easy for me.
Are you going to go?
High five to that, Steve.
Whatever. Do you say, no, Mark said he's going.
No, I won't go.
What's your price?
I don't know.
We said the app.
We all sort of sit together, don't we?
On the way in. I ain't far off of it, is it, mate? I ain't far off of it, the app and this, and you can't give it to your sister or your auntie or your son.
So what's your get out point then? Or not. And this is turned miserable.
Well, Mickey's going. Meaning, yeah. Mickey's going.
Like, we're still on a cup final bonhomie.
We are not, but it's only a year or two before it's.
Barney, why do you go to watch United?
The community now. That is 100% the community. Moments FC.
Yeah, which we all agree with.
That drug.
So you go because of the people that you meet, and you go because that moment of brilliance, okay? Does it matter what the fucking ground's called? Because that's not where you're going, is it?
No, but it's all part of that.
It's not
what we're supposed to be. And we're supposed to fight against. And we're supposed to stand for something.
So why
Manchester United.
Right.
Like I was reading last
night.
Do you know my Man U moments? I was reading last night Jimmy Murphy quotes. And I'm not meaning to make it like so profound. But I was reading it and I thought out of nowhere. And sorry, Finno, if he's listening, because I was sending him an ask for a graphic. But I started, and then I went down a rabbit hole of Jimmy Murphy quotes because I was going through old mags, and I thought, fuck me, it inspired me. At 11 o'clock at night, I thought, this man and the actual quotes, not like made up memes, actual quotes that he made around that time made me think, that's why. It just made me at 11 o'clock on a Friday, that is what Manchester United is. What he did for this club, and it should still resonate.
It can still resonate. Do you like calling us Red Devils? Do you ever call United Red Devils?
No,
but the world over does. a 9 Busby stole from fucking Salford Rugby League Club, right? Did you not stop going when we took football club off the badge, which pisses off a lot of people? That's not the reason we go. We go to watch the football, and we go for the camaraderie and the fun and everything else and the community.
Do we have fun?
Look at your faces, John's gurning.
No, in fairness, there was
we
one.
We were having fun.
Until I got this.
There was 20 minutes.
We're doing it early. I'm not going to do a later version.
There was 20 minutes last season where we had a bit of fun, which may well describe my marriage, actually. But it's not about the name of the stadium, is it? It's not about the fucking badge on the, you know, the third strip last season, and this season hasn't even got Manchester United on. It's fucking just a
but we
a
know yeah, but Nathan called it that. That's where we're going as
it
well
is,
with the logo.
But don't stop people from going.
Bizarrely, that doesn't. But now, where Manchester, it is a good point, because Manchester United Football Club, when it was taken off, and now I see that crest, and I think that's the least of like 10 worries
that
I've got.
Why should the name be the thing that's the final
but score? Shouldn't you know, like, and this sends like a dig against someone who can't answer back, but when we've got the fab and all that, it doesn't feel like we're consulted. That I feel so detached, like there's no sort of what do you feel about all this, and I answer angrily like the app question here. Abusive without any swear words. What do you think of the app nonsense?
But how many times were we consulted in the 70s and 80s about things?
Exactly.
Have always been at the bottom.
But as a fanzine, we've got to say this is why we want it to be. We'll never get there.
I understand that. But why should you think all
like
of a sudden,
Ollie said after PSG, mountains are there to be climbed, Goggin.
Yeah, I know. But why? And they've got the fans forum, which you could argue is a way of.
Don't get me started on that.
No, but you could argue that's a reason.
But you can argue.
John, this podcast is now 3 hours long.
So
everyone goes with good intentions, and I'm not. Isn't it sad that in a consumer-driven world where you're supposed to be customer's best, they started treating us like customer in the 90s. None of us feel like they ever ask us, entice us. You know, like we're just shit on their shoe, and that's not revolutionary.
But then you've got to separate that from the reasons why you go to the game. You don't go to that football game because it's called Old Trafford. You go to watch United play, and you go to because you're with your mates and everything. And you've got to separate all the shit that's around it.
But also the fans, like the community, on a deeper level, most fans out of whatever our global army, all they care about this summer isn't the intrinsic thing that, and this isn't a match goer versus anyone else, but all they care about is the transfers we're making.
Yeah.
And the one thing I do agree with Ratcliffe in his interview where he said, you know, not the Mbappe, you've got to sort out the environment, and that club environment is stinking.
I mean it's interesting that we've had this discussion about the name, the changing of the name, right, yet we've not discussed the threat of increased in season tickets. So if there's anything that's likely to stop us, it's that, isn't it?
And that's what's going to happen. Behind us, Paul in front, Steve. If that goes, then say the bonhomie that we've got, like with a group of 10 of us or whatever around us, that would be majorly impactful, like you had there in your little groups.
Yeah. But when you're talking about like, the naming rights are worth 300 million and he's worth X amount of billion, yet they seem to still go for us, and they've introduced this app, they've introduced these new rules, you can't pass your ticket on, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to attend so many games, and on top of it, they put our tickets up by £2 a game. It's like, how much more shit are we going to take off them before we tend to stick up their asses?
And we're not alone. I mean, you know, dare I say, clubs like City, Liverpool, Everton, their fans are suffering the same.
Also, clubs now are like, oh, if we don't get this, then we're going to have to put the prices up, like, they're threatening. Again, you go, this is never a dig. The people, the good mates, I met a good mate last week, John the Ref, who gave up, and he now travels. And I never, ever don't see their point of view of not going, like they understand why I still do. I just find it a betrayal that the amount of people who have given up, not because, you know, just that, be the club that goes. It wouldn't take much to go, you were a season ticket holder, Fred. I'm just going to check up on you. And they do some of that well.
That end of season review. Yeah, though, then, what's the average age of a season ticket holder at Old Trafford now?
Well, 54. Yeah.
So you think all these things we're talking about in 20 years, no one will give a shit because we'll all be dead and gone.
But you, you saying that, you're not giving up in your United knowledge or the groups, are you? You don't give up on United. You know, not what you're saying.
No, it just becomes a different level of interest. Like. And I still think that, you know, around this table, the average age around this table is probably...
fucking... Yeah. Hang on. Yeah. What's the average age around here?
Above 40.
Above 40, pushing 50 easily. And you think, what kids that are 18, 19, they might not want to go to a stadium called Old Trafford where it pisses with water every time it rains. They might want to go to the McDonald's Old Trafford Bowl. And have those pint glasses where the beer fills up. They're looking for a different experience.
The kicking thing for me, it's like Mark's thinking about giving it up. Mark gets a train to the game every week. How many Euros did you do last year?
All of them.
Right. How much have you spent in a year?
Don't count that. Don't.
I know, yeah. But the thing is, they don't give a shit. But they're not giving a shit about people.
Nick would have that on a spreadsheet. And it's not, sorry, Nick.
And it's not just Mark who does that. There's a lot of people around the table who are spending thousands watching him, and you don't get anything.
Yeah, but you can say, when I went to Euston this morning,
you used to get a fucking birthday card off him years ago.
Well, you used to get a gift, and then they started giving members more than season tickets. But then we sound miserable. I got to Euston this morning, and then we've come. Many have come from Manchester, Sheffield, gone, and I thought. I've probably done Euston 2,500 times collectively, you know, like, and I thought Euston in the morning has seen me at my not best, and then Euston in the evening what it's seen me, and I thought if Euston was a person, what would it say to me? What would it
fucking get out?
He's what it would say to you.
Are you still alive?
Well, here we are. Right, are we going to have some bonhomie? Nathan, come on, give us some bonhomie.
We,
all right.
I'm getting your...
Well, no, we're in a whip. There's no one here. What, the whip's gone?
Yeah, I just subbed the last one.
You're joking. One, two,
you only put a fiver in each.
No, we... Fucking hell.
We met a couple of fellas, God, it must be 6-7 years ago now. Can't remember which pub it was. One, in the city centre after a game. And we got talking to him because they recognised our accents. And these two fellas were somewhere north Birmingham way, and they actually were serving football banning orders. But they still came to Manchester for every home game, just sitting in the pubs with people. So they did the whole Man United thing, and the stadium, the football team, didn't matter. They were just coming up for the community thing.
Our experience.
What's that? Is that lager?
Oh, not Mark doesn't like that. I will recommend.
Aspals.
I was, the D-Day fascinated me, the stuff. And two historians said, what's the longest day? So it was on BBC, 1962, Steve's dad's favourite film. And then you think, this is what my head gets scrambled at the best of times. I like butterflies, but I like my gardening sorts my head out because my head can wobble. And there were people, us, 70, 80 years ago, who would give anything to argue about a fucking football club in a pub, you know? And it's a great film, absolutely, truly wonderful film about the bleakness, but also the heart of spirit. And I think it's really art. Maybe I make life complicated, but you get what I'm saying? Like, it's for some people, and good mates, it's about going into a fucking football ground and just watching football. Stop making it more complicated. Thank you. Stop making it more complicated than it is.
And in fairness, I think they're right. I think there's, you know, we've got to take the good bits about it and enjoy those while we can, and just fucking ignore the others, whether it be name on the crest or whatever, or that.
Right.
Just enjoy the good times.
So, signings wise for the like and subscribe generation, what do you want to see happen?
What's that mean? Yeah,
well, so you know, who would you like to see us sign?
Who they sign? You know, like, we all laughed at Liverpool when they signed Henderson. We all laughed when they signed Mo Salah. And I don't care if they sign players I've never heard of this summer, as long as they've signed.
Thank you.
The right players for the right positions that put a fucking shift in. And that with the days of signings like Anthony become a thing of the past.
Right. That's not that bad. Shit. That ain't right. Sorry, the Guinness isn't right.
Go on.
Yeah, so I really don't care who they sign if I've never heard of them before, as long as they fit the gaps that we're all aware of in the squad.
Sometimes
in
I like that. Nanny and Anderson, we had such, remember? Yeah. Oh, we've signed them out of the blue, but yeah, they turned into dog shite. Then I'd give Nanny, I'd fucking have quarter Nanny over fucking Anthony.
Yeah.
I
mean, we probably will sign players I've never heard of because I don't watch a lot of other football, but listen, we need a centre-half.
We need a defensive I'm ignorant, but he's supposed to be decent.
Yeah, but whether we get him or not, we need a defensive midfielder. And we need a striker. They're for me are the three priorities. But then we also need fullbacks, and we also need Garnacho playing on the left. We need a right winger. Garnacho plays on the
we're going to get rid of Anthony, aren't we? So this how much money have we got to spend?
Well, they'll only get rid of Anthony though.
We ain't getting 25 million for Anthony. And we're not even selling him, are we? Like, he's got to try and make a tune out of Anthony.
That much and get it so wrong.
Because this is that horrible phrase now that gets used, is due diligence, isn't it? Where he was bought on Ten Hag's say-so rather than someone sat down and talked to him, find out what makes the guy tick. And work ethic, things like that.
I can understand why we signed
him. For any listeners who like cheese, toasted porn, listening to that. Boom. Steve, what did you want? Crunch into me, bagel.
I can understand why he signed Anthony. Because he wants people who will track back, work hard, and not to fit
and
in.
And be trusted. Like, if you look at Martinez, like I said about the cup final, Martinez lifts him up, he wanted his people with him, right, who could carry that. Yeah. Whereas Anthony's sort of seen his arse.
Yeah.
I get that. You want the people that you trust.
Yeah, yeah. And we should sell Anthony. If we can get 25 million for Anthony, we should sell him. You know, let's move these players out. Even if we have to take a cut and a loss, we need to move them out.
Well, people talk about making a statement signing. I do think there's such a thing as a statement getting rid of as well. I think if Anthony was sold and Ratcliffe got it, balls on the table, 20 million, you can have him. You think, well, that's a statement in itself, saying that the old ways, we're not having that anymore, it's not good enough. We're not pandering to it. We're not paying it £250,000 a week in wages.
I personally like the Wan-Bissaka for 15 million out. I think that would be daft, but he's got a year left on his contract. But I think, you know my Delo worries. Right, signings.
It'll be a bag of shit. They'll all be Dutch.
We've not mentioned
so
it.
So, we need to follow that up. So, are all Dutch signings by a bag of shit then?
And we're going after.
Rudolph will be the best one.
Abogu scored 8 goals in like 30 appearances last season and is apparently going to be a great striker. If you can't score any goals in those leagues, you ain't scoring no goals in the Premier League. De Ligt, who can't get in Bayern Munich side, and Eric Dier can. Shit. Yeah. And that's just two.
Over to our Dutch correspondent. But Rude will come in. This sounds a bit fucking. But Rude will come in thinking he'll be manager by Christmas.
Maybe.
And he probably will be.
That is interesting because we said, didn't we, like when we did the one the other week about if they're going to keep Ten Hag, they need to freshen up the coaching staff. And it feels like they've obviously been listening to the podcast and decided that that's what they're going to do. And I think that is...
At least somebody is, Maven.
Well,
if Ratcliffe's listening, you're a twat. You're a suited twat. But we'll go on a 100-day break. Where would you go? Bahamas? Caribbean for the cricket?
We'll meet Coggy there.
Coggy's been like, who recommends?
Yeah, Coggy's been fucking everywhere. Anywhere you haven't been?
I've not been to Australia, so let's go to Australia for the cricket.
Yeah, well, John tried that and then he fucked off back here.
So I'm going back to Christmas.
Sorry.
Signing wise, like was just said, it's as much getting rid of people as it is bringing people in now. And I think, I think Anthony can go, like,
that we still don't know about Rashford and stuff. I think, yeah, just
we're playing a game, obviously with the kids and that, but we're playing a game in 2 weeks. What I'd like to see said on the trainers, just do the business by 10 days time and just say this has happened. Then no,
that's the stupidest thing you've ever said. Yeah,
no, but like this is it, and then we prepare for the season.
I'm
with
interested
this.
About because we've obviously been linked with that Branthwaite, and like, are they finally deciding that they're not going to pay over the odds for someone? But he does look good, and like you said about De Ligt, like there's a reason that he's not playing for Bayern. He was really highly regarded, and now he's not getting anywhere. And are we just getting the scraps off someone else?
He was highly regarded about 6-7 years ago.
Yeah,
that just makes sense. Of course, I'd try and turn Chelsea's Cole Palmer's head.
Yeah,
Jared Bowen.
Cole Palmer, the boyhood red that went to City and then went to Chelsea.
Exactly.
Fucking liar.
But Nick Cox is good. That's where we need to sort it out and get these players.
Yeah.
For a while, they've started turning to City. We've got to start getting them.
Exactly. And if, you know, if I'd got a son or I was, you know, that age, I'd have gone to City because their setup was fucking infinitely better than United. Whether I support United or not, I'd go to City. And there was a time they'd come to United rather than City.
And this goes back to what we were saying earlier about naming rights of the stadium. They're spending, what is it, 50 million quid, is it, doing up Carrington? So if they need to tidy up things like that behind the scenes to get the calibre of youth player, never mind fully grown up professional, and that's going to cost 50 million, would we be so precious about what the football stadium's called if that brings in the 50 million that pays to upgrade the facility?
How sad is it that we're discussing the money of football? Yeah. Like, if we're a rich club, we should be able to spend what we want.
But the saddest part
because
is
the sustainability rules are what's wrong. Yeah. Not
no, but also the state of disrepair that the Glazers left us in. That the women's team are going to have to go in porter cabins, which the staff are in.
And
the porter
players
cabins.
Are leaving anyway.
This is all on the fucking Glazers. That they didn't put it in. And the biggest damnation is that someone we're not particularly celebrating, but me and Nathan will, that it is an estate, are only doing like fucking cosmetic. This for now is only cosmetic of what needs to be done with those, but they still remain. And Avram Glazer will be planning his next trip thinking, bring the fucking money in. The biggest thing of all of this is that 2005, and when it is my final time to go, the biggest aberration in my lifetime remains the blight on what that fucking family has done on this club.
Can I just say
nothing
regarding the redevelopment?
This is cheery pod.
regarding the redevelopment of Carrington, why can't pampered players get changed in the fucking porter cabin for the next 12 months? Why have they got to kick the women in the academy out so they've got more plush surroundings? They can fucking get changed.
Yeah, but my argument has been when recently, about a year ago, the Cliff, people were leaking me stuff, how bad that had got. The Cliff should be used as an inspiration for that team. I know it's used for academies, but it should be properly all the way through that club. That Cliff story is inspirational, and it should be better built, better done up, and thinking this should be also where the first team is. And it shouldn't be like the barricades come up, that every once in a while, the fucking first team club, first team players do meet the fans, because you've got to fucking meet us every once in a while.
When I was a kid, we'd go and stand outside the gates of the Cliff, and I know that kids do that now at Carrington, but it's a different world.
But those players in that, we were very lucky to grow up with a team that was united through and through. That doesn't exist anymore. Well, these players aren't signed. They're signed for United because, like, I've dreamed of playing for United, but for status. They don't give a shit about us. They don't give a shit about the club.
But that became.
But that's an epidemic across football. You're never gonna get players like that.
But one thing that happened at United recently that I thought was just a real tokenist effort, brilliant for the lads involved in it. I don't know if any of you guys were. That the match that Dave Field and Mike played in.
Oh yeah, right. Nathan
played. Team supporters involved. But they weren't allowed to take their family or friends to watch them play on the pitch. You know, Mike Deegan, bless his cotton socks, scored at Old Trafford. Still haven't heard the end of that. Fair play to him. But what a shame that he wasn't able to ring us and say, lads, I'm playing at Old Trafford. Come down,
well, like,
watch me.
Me, Nick and Ben. And, like,
you know, they did have that option. They just decided not to because they didn't want to embarrass themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Just think, yeah. What an opportunity miss that was.
Yeah.
But community. This is where it gets complicated, because I said no, because I can't do that until the Glazers are gone. But I'm not begrudging Nathan and Nick, because the fanzine's coming to the end, like we all are coming
the
to the end.
The Glazers aren't the issue with you playing that one.
Yeah.
No, but I won't personally. My contact with United still is very difficult. So for me personally, I said no, but it can't be to affect others. But my stance is also, so nothing's fucking easy. You should be in my head. It's the best. It, like,
well, I don't know if you remember.
We got on the pitch.
At the Cliff. We played at the Cliff for the fanzine, not for the fans, for the fan club lot against the Wigan branch.
Yeah.
And I got a couple of my mates up because you were short of a couple of numbers. It was odd. And
did we win?
No, they'd done us 1-0. Wigan done us 1-0, and it was to play at the Cliff lot, and it was it was brilliant lot.
But that's what
we
should.
And it was Sunday morning before we played Chelsea at home. It was like, this is brilliant lot.
I've played at the Cliff. What's great about the home changing rooms about this big, innit?
It's amazing, mate. It was amazing.
But one of the things that Mourinho did. One of the things that Mourinho did that he got a lot of mocking for, but I thought, especially having gone to watch non-league football. At away games, there was all the pictures at nearly every away game where he'd stop the coach at a park or a car park on the way to the ground and get them out, warming up and doing exercises, and then back on the coach and to wherever they were playing. And I thought that was all part of trying to do what we're talking about now, is instill that football club mentality.
But there's a culture, and it won't be a surprise about the player, but not especially, don't get Nathan started on fucking Jose right now, but that a player requested that he could get his own 4x4 car back from a game and not travel with the team because he needed to be back faster home. And that sort of sums up the modern team. Like, we're supposed to be like, right, positives, come on, hit me with your rhythms. We've got one positive and then we're done. 51 minutes, don't it go fast?
Time flies. Positive,
Eric Stein.
I'm generally positive about the fact that they are bringing in, like, I don't know if McLaren's going to go because of it, but I do think that he need, like, whether Ten Hag was right to stay or not, I think he did need it, that fresh other people around him, and I think that's a positive.
It's
I
a
do
challenge.
Think that's a positive.
I do, in the fully, well, reading the next, mate. Let's see.
It's and never the positive done. Is, I've not seen you since we know that we're doing it again next season. So that's
yes,
a positive.
Yes, and thank you to everyone who likes this shite and waffle.
I think Eric Stein's positive. I think it's so easy to sack him, and at least they've stuck with him. I think it's, to me, like, if we were going to another season with another manager, it's like, fucking hell, we're starting again. It's another season. We're going to do absolutely fuck all. And I'm not saying we're going to do anything good, but at least we're going in, like, isn't the team that we've got, who like them or loathe them, nothing's changing. Like, you just know if you bring someone else in, it's the start of the beginning of another cycle. So I just think that's a positive. And I do think there's, like Nathan says, some of the backroom stuff's positive. I mean, ultimately, I don't necessarily think that the season will ultimately end in this massively positive way. But I just think
things can only get better.
When you get taken over by, like, people like we've been taken over by, sort of, it could have been, like, really negative. And I just think, actually, they've seen a bit of, like, actually, you know, it's better just to, let's just crack on. And he may not have a job at Christmas, but at least going into the season, I feel a bit like, well, we've got a bit of continuity.
For all my criticisms of him being a suit, a billionaire, tax, everything, I watched that Bloomberg interview, and there is clearly a canny, savvy operator. And also, within like his first interviews, he's caring about United, whereas the Glazers purely was, what's the cost? Where's the level of cost? Whereas this is ambition, you know, we want to be challenging. So there's hope. There is hope again.
If Eric does stay, though, their biggest job is to, if we get to a final again, to tell him that white old man bowling shoes and no socks and a suit is a fucking terrible look.
He can wear what he wants.
If he's going to win Cup finals every City, like, yeah.
My granddad was calling him.
Give me hope, Joanna.
Probably not too similar to Mark, really, like, you know, it's Now, we haven't got to go for that charge again in the summer. It's like a complete rebuild and a new manager and the backroom staff. And there is a refreshing up the backroom staff, which is always good, which is always, Fergie always did, didn't he? Like, every couple of years, he'd put something else and a fresh voice in, which he needs and we need. Like, and hopefully.
It's, and will British Airways get your luggage how many weeks on, is it?
It's 2.5 weeks. No.
2.5 weeks. Someone.
JFK.
JFK have nicked his.
You're an American. You're an American bloke. Like, it doesn't buy a cuff.
What waist size are you,
mate? 30, mate. 30. Wait, that ain't going to fit an average American, is it?
John, I want my jeans. John, you've got
them two new pairs of Levi's. I want a
Joe Biden in 40 years. John, have you got a.
The end of the podcast.
Such a miserable bastard. Look at him. He's actually, he could not be further away from us.
Wasn't John on podcast 001?
No, but that's Adidas.
He's an original.
He is. Still keep positives.
Positives. Ten Hag's still there. I hope they give him the players he needs to play the sort of football he wants. Because he's. I haven't got the players able to do what I want. He's wearing a bit thin now after 2 years. If they don't get him the players he wants, I don't see the point in keeping him as manager, really. Disappointed with the women's side of the club and what's happened there. I hope there's some positive news there. But everyone will still see each other, whether the football's shit or not.
And Bonnie Tyler, come on.
And Bonnie Tyler.
What a
the soundtrack and everything. Great.
I've been missing
what
it.
What a song. Coggy.
Today's positive, because United's not going to ruin it for us. I'm going to Edinburgh to watch United in that pre-season battle with Rangers.
How big's yours?
What?
What are you talking about?
Cookie's kept quiet. He's not just gone for a sandwich, he's gone for a 12-incher.
Do you like the 12-incher?
And I agree with everybody else. I think Ten Hag stopping's good. I think the potential new coaches should be good. I think Liverpool with Arnie Slot are going to be shit, so that's a positive.
Arnie Slot?
Yeah. How do you pronounce that?
Arnie Slot, isn't it?
I'll be back.
I don't know if I'll edit that or
it
not.
It will be after a week in Liverpool, that's for sure.
That's probably your. You may as well retire from the podcast now.
I've gone.
Drop the mic.
I'm just excited to go. Woo, 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 woo.
Can we go get drunk now, Barney?
Right, no, I've got one thing. This is so boring to deflate the mood, but can I set the tone? Right, last June, I bought a bulb. It's one solitary single bulb. This is like Eric Ten Hag.
Like a light bulb?
A light bulb.
No, so you keep it dry and crispy. Then in October, what you do is go, is this ready? Is the conditions ready? And then you plant it. And you plant it. And then you wait until now, and it's just about, and it's called a Red Diablo Allium, and I'm going to post a picture for you, and when it blooms next
week,
that'd
be a good name for a stadium, wouldn't it?
I am literally going to be tears of Doctor Who cut final joy that this process has taken me nearly 13 months of my life, and it'll be beautiful. Eric Ten Hag, be
weird,
the man.
You do know, Barney, that people are going to sat here for an hour listening to this, and off that story, they're going to never listen again.
That is story of Red News. Know who you are, know your audience.
So you're a bulb that needs to be kept crisp and dry for 12 months before being deposited.
Or buried in some fertiliser.
I've been covered. I've had shit thrown at me all my life. You have to include the edit right at the end. Right, to the regiment, absent friends. Love you all.
Let's get pissed.
Cheers. I was going to clink the glass with the mic.